I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
The Gamertag Radio Store is open. Get your limited edition GTR shirts, long sleeves, and hoodies right now. These are limited edition and will no longer be available after 12/31. So get one right now before they're all gone. And it's super easy. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 723. This is your host, Danny, and I have the whole crew up in here. We have Pete in the house.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up?
I know you're drinking water. I didn't want to interrupt.
I'm trying to stay hydrated here.
Oh, okay, okay. And we have also Paris is also in the house here. What's up, Paris?
I'm going to be Danny.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good, man.
Good to be here. Put on your slow DJ voice.
Yeah, yo. Good. I'm a little sick. So yeah, we're live here in San Francisco, man. Great trip. We were here thanks to Ubisoft for flying us out over here, and we got to play Far Cry 5.
Can we say that? Oh, is this coming out on the Friday?
Yeah, it's coming out Friday. Oh,
okay. Yeah, we played Far Cry 5.
Yeah, so your thoughts about the game, man. We were playing for like an hour and a half. Great, great game, man. Wow. Opinion.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I mean, just that open sandbox world of Hope County, just all the toys that you could basically play with, and the missions that we got to do, and the different scenarios to be able to tackle stuff, and how the world is going on regardless of what you do. There's other things happening in the game while you're trying to accomplish your mission. It's a lot of fun, man. Gorgeous looking game, too.
Yeah.
I was very, very, I shouldn't even say surprised, but I was very impressed with how great the game looked at this stage. And we played on PS4 Pro. Mm-hmm.
And originally when we played this a couple months ago, I think during E3, we played a little bit of that.
Yeah, we played at E3, yeah.
That world was a lot smaller compared to this. This is huge.
Yeah, that scenario we did at E3 was liberating like one little town in the county. And then we got like a presentation from creative director right before we got to play. And he sort of like, here's where you played at E3. And then he expanded out. Here's everywhere you can go. And I think I gasped. I was like,
oh, that's big. That's big. Were there any missions that, because we played two separate consoles. I had a different experience. I did a couple missions that you guys didn't. So let's talk about that, man. So what was like any missions that got your attention during the game?
Aside from the co-op stuff, I think what the game gives you in total, right? It's not just, you know, you're the character, go here, do a mission. We've seen this in other Far Cry games, and I think the recipe for success on a title like Far Cry is that, where it's not just, let me give you a mission, go here, do this, do that. But yeah, while you're en route to your mission, you're getting bombarded from real life experiences, right? There's other people in the world minding their own business, doing their own thing, and you're interrupting their way of life because you're doing your mission. And then on top of that, you've got the wildlife. You know, we talked about that with
we're gonna play
the
later
creative director, yeah, and you'll hear about that later. But it's like you could be walking along doing your own thing, and out of nowhere, you know, you're getting attacked by whether it's the resistance or, you know, one of the enemies, or you're getting attacked by a random animal. I mean, you and I were doing a mission, and I got you know, dive bombed by a bald eagle.
Yes. And we were trying to kill it, man, but he was flying. Then he'll see us, and he'll attack me.
It
and then
dive bomb. Yeah.
And they will go to you and stuff, yeah. But one thing that happened to me, I was doing a mission, and I'm there, like, trying to kill some enemies and stuff. And if you see an enemy with a crown, he's the cult.
He's like a VIP.
Leader.
He's like a VIP.
Yeah, he's like in a higher position within the cult, whatever. Right. And I'm there trying to kill him, and some random person just came with he was driving like a truck and killed three enemies for me. I was like, oh, thanks. But I kept on going again. Oh, he's the cult VIP. Is it cult VIP?
I think he's a VIP or something like that, yeah.
Okay, well. But that was fun. Yeah, thanks for helping me out. It was a lot easier for me to do that, man. But yeah, I did the outpost. So you guys did that? Like, trying to get, like, different outposts? I did that. Now, my question, I should have asked that to the developers. Once you take over that outpost, is that area a lot easier? Not the house or the location where they're at, but, like, the streets. Is there going to be less enemies there? Because when I left, they were attacking someone that was like driving by, mm-hmm. and they attacked them right away. So I wonder if the environment changes based on that.
You're building your resistance meter, right? And mm-hmm. as you're going through and interrupting the enemies and interrupting their stuff, whether it's a convoy or getting munitions or you're doing missions, you're taking down people, you're letting them know that you're encroaching on their space. Mm-hmm. So they, in retaliation, start focusing more on trying to get you diverted out of the way. So it's like a give and go, nonstop, you know, push pull reaction with regards to you versus them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's there's so much to do in Far Cry 5 that it's. I think we started talking about that too with the developers, and you'll hear that later in the interview. It's almost as if it's daunting just how much there is to do in this game, aside from the size, the sheer size of the map itself. And there's so much. I mean, hunting, fishing, the economy in game. It's impressive. It's impressive, all the stuff that they've put into this game.
A lot of side missions. Now, my question to you, because I found the game to be difficult, because you guys hired someone to be with you to do like missions and stuff. I didn't. I was like doing everything on my own. Which is great, because it's not, they're not forcing you to do that. But do you think that the game was too difficult, or just the right spot, or what, in your
opinion?
Well,
it's like you said, adding the companions in, I actually felt it was a little too easy, because we had the one companion that was, she was roping off everybody. We didn't even get a chance to take out anybody. She did it for us. So in that sense, it was too easy. But I get, like you're saying, if you didn't have those companions, you were going in some of those scenarios solo, it could seem difficult. I really just think it varies mission to mission.
Yeah,
to be honest
with you. Definitely. And what were your thoughts about driving first person? Can you change it to third person? Because I was trying to, you can't, right?
I didn't even try.
All right, because I'm not a fan of the whole first person view driving. I like third person.
I mean,
view.
It was a little different at first.
Yeah, but I got used to it right away.
That was fine.
Yeah. I like the game overall, man. Really cool. Was there anything that you were surprised while we were playing? It could be missions, characters, weapons, anything?
Well, like I said, the thing that surprised me the most was just how independent the NPC characters were. We're doing things. Like, we've all brought up a scenario where we're on a mission doing something, and either an animal or a person comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. and winds up interfering in the mission or doing something. So that was actually a very pleasant surprise, because it shows you that no matter what you're doing, it's going to be kind of dynamic, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Did you guys attack the bear?
Man, I left the bears alone, man.
They're strong, man. Don't mess with them. They killed me like this right away, man. So, yeah.
You guys did co-op. I just watched. So, shut up. Here you go.
Pete, co-op, I think it has a lot of potential, man, to be big for this game, I think.
You take a game like this, when you've got a massive map, you've got dynamic elements all around you, whether it's people, cars, animals, environments. The ability to bring in someone that's not an NPC, which the NPCs are phenomenal because they all have their own agendas, they all have their own independence, and they can think for themselves and act for themselves. You do have some opportunities where you can tell them to stop, follow, or act. But for the most part, they don't do anything until you give them the command. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, to open fire. Like, we went into a pig farm or something like that. We went into like a cattle area. Him and I, like when Paris and I were doing the single player missions, and it's like I kicked off the activity by, you know, I first marked everybody, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna attack the guy the furthest one away, and that's what started the whole shebang, explosions, the whole nine. I think it'd be a little bit more interesting if it's more than four people, like, because like you can have, I think it was up to three. I only picked up two gun for hires, but I think you can pick up. I think you might be able to pick up three. I'm not sure, but I think it'd be cool if you could do. You know, if you have both. I mean, you've got like those. You know, you've got like your grunt NPCs who could do your things, and then, like, for example, you and I are on a mission. You know, we're doing things. I think, you know, there's just. I don't think we're doing enough justice to the title by saying just how much there is to do.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a constantly living, evolving experience. I mean, there's so much things to do, and everybody's got their own agenda in the game. You know, like, we're going in to do our mission, and we're interrupting a group of people that just might be on the road at random, and the cars are coming towards us, and they notice that we're part of the resistance, so they start firing on us, and that, you know, we divert the Jeep and we run into another. There's so much to do, and I think the progression of how Far Cry is a franchise, mm-hmm. over the years, how they've been able to take, you know, normal things that we take for granted and expand and make those an integral part of the game. Fantastic.
We were having this conversation when we were walking around the city and stuff, that, and I think Paris was the one that brought it up, that Ubisoft is the only company, I think, right now, third-party company, that's been doing a great job with open world, and I think they're the ones that have the most games that's open world right now in 2017. Well, overall, just
think,
like,
about it. They have the formula down, right? They've figured out the right math on how to do the open world environment, mm-hmm. and they've opened that up to other games. We've seen it with Assassin's Creed. Even going down to the crew, you're able to traverse the country in a vehicle. Mm-hmm. That's their formula. They have the sauce when it comes to open world games. Mm-hmm. You know, The Division, mm-hmm. Ghost Recon Wildlands. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, for the most part, I think maybe the only one that doesn't fit that mold, I mean, well, we've Watch Dogs, but maybe For Honor. Because it's more of a linear, you have to go in this specific path to go towards.
Agreed.
That might be the only one that doesn't ascribe to the open world, but they have the sauce, I think, when it comes to the open world titles.
Was there any opinion about that, Paris, for you, when it comes to the open world Ubisoft and everything?
Like I said, the conversation we were having before we recorded, I just feel like Ubisoft has that formula down pat, because you just go down their library of games right now, and you're starting to see that pattern. Open world game, you know, varied sandbox, NPCs that are completely independent, ton of things to do, etc. So, you know, Far Cry 5 is just more of that vein. And like I said, I was very impressed with this game in particular and how they're implementing it. And you can tell with each implementation they're getting a lot better at it.
One thing that I was like, man, I wish I could have gotten Boomer. But Boomer was so far.
But, and that's, again, just talking about the size of the map.
Yeah.
I mean, Boomer was far, and we only had so much time.
Yeah.
And you're like, you'll spend all this time just trying to get to him. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get him, time's up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm overall, I think I'm happy with the game, man. You know, not the more I play, the more I'm like, wow, this game is going to be legit once it comes out next year, man. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be one of the highlight games for early 2018.
Yeah, definitely, man. So now let's play the interview. And once we come back, we're going to wrap it up. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, GTR listeners, the team at Sennheiser have these headsets called Game Zero. It's aimed to design the most comfortable and best-sounding close professional headset on the market.
It has automatic microphone mute, noise canceling microphone, clear communication, which I think is super important if you're going to be playing some Player Unknown's Battleground on the Xbox or PC. You need that to be crystal clear when you communicate with your teammates. Also, it's comfortable. I like that. The ear pads, it has these leather designs. You put them on, and if you play for multiple hours, you'll be good because it's still going to feel comfortable and stuff. So I like that. I like the design, and plus it comes with a cool case. Let's say if you're into the whole esports type thing, you go bring your headset, connect that with your controller, of course. Take it to different esports location or tournaments and stuff in this cool, pretty cool case. If you would like to know more information about Sennheiser and their headsets, Game Zero, make sure to go to Sennheiser.com/game-zero. That's Sennheiser.com/game-zero.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Hey, everyone. This is Paris here in San Francisco with Danny and Pete. And we just got finished playing Far Cry 5. And I have a couple people here to talk about it. So can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Dan Hay, and I'm the executive producer on Far Cry the Brand and the creative director on Far Cry 5.
And my name is Phil Fournier. I'm associate producer on Far Cry 5.
Thank you both for taking the time to talk
to us. Thanks for being here.
I remember you before pre-E3, yeah. You're telling us the story about Montana. Yeah. You scared the shit out of me about it. And then at E3, we got to play it a little bit and, you know, doing that first liberation mission. And that was a lot of fun. And then here, all three of us, we got about a good hour and a half playing the single player. And then what was it, about a half hour of the co-op or something like that? I didn't play co-op. They played co-op. But I just want to start off this way because I was kind of telling the story right before you walked in. So first mission I had was from the pastor.
Okay.
And it was the pig farm.
Okay.
Yeah. And you had the three hostages that you had to rescue. So hijinks ensued because I kept failing at first trying to sneak in and figure out what to do. Then I was like, okay, I got it. Got my silencer pistol. Okay. I'm going to rescue them. Got the first hostage rescued. Took out a couple guys. I see the second hostage and there was one of the flamethrower guys next to him. And I go, I'm going to take him out. I'll take him out. No problem. So I shot the canister. He exploded and the hostage exploded at the same time. And for me, that kind of set up what this game is, because just the open sandbox that you guys have right now and just the various options of the way that you can tackle these missions was a highlight. So I don't know which one of you might want to go into that first, but let's kind of just talk about that open world sandbox of Far Cry 5.
I think that, you know, we really, right from the get-go, we wanted to build a world that was reactive and organic. And when you say stuff like that, it sounds a little cheesy, right? And you write it down on a piece of paper. But we weren't messing around with that. We really wanted the world to be so that as you went through it, as devs, we wouldn't know what could happen. And so we're constantly surprised by what we're seeing in terms of people are playing the game and they're approaching it in a way that we're not expecting. And then the game is pushing back in the game in a way that we didn't know it could do. And it's just about building. If you're truly going to build something that's the anecdote factory, you've got to be able to make sure that you're building tools for people to be able to play, and you're not making a prescription for how they play. It's really important to do that. So what you're seeing is, you know, you go there and you try and rescue a couple of people, and then we're watching those people get up and grab weapons and then join you, but they're not necessarily in your squad, but they're still with you because they're going to fight for their life. And then you can make them a guns for hire, or maybe you've got a fangs for hire with you. But we didn't know you were going to go there first. So the world has to respond to that, and it has to be aware of what you're doing. And that way you can author your own story. It's super difficult to do, but it's super rewarding. When I walk into a room like this and you guys are talking about it, and we don't really have to say anything because you guys are telling all these stories and we're like, okay, it's working.
Yeah, that's one of the fun parts that I experienced. It was actually, it was really fun actually experiencing it side by side, just to see the hijinks, as he called it. Even before that, like, you got attacked by a dog and you yelped, and that was the that set it off.
Gotta tell a story real quick. So we're just randomly driving to a mission, and I see some checkpoint, you know, like some signs or whatever. Yep. And I was like, I'm gonna get out the car. I get out the car and I start heading towards the woods. Dog comes out of nowhere, and I'm like, you know, so even that, just with the open world, just things could happen at any time.
Wildlife is a big part of the Far Cry moments. You know, wildlife is one key aspect that we always try to bring. And Montana has, like, when we started, we didn't really know, like, okay, caribous, like elks. But there's some really vicious and surprising animals in Montana. Like, you probably stumbled upon some turkeys. Turkeys can go in fury mode and then just like attack you and jump on you. But my personal favorite is the wolverine. Like, if you guys haven't ever seen
one. Where this is going.
But seriously, I did some research on the wolverine. Wolverine is like a small little beast. It's 20 to 50 pounds, and it's the most carnivorous animal on the planet. It can never go a day without eating some meat, and it doesn't care what meat or whatever. It's just going to go on a face off with a bear. And it's seriously like a wolverine. For me, between a honey badger and a wolverine, I think the wolverine would win, hands down.
Cool.
one part of the missions that Paris and I were doing, because we were swapping back and forth. If he died, then he'd hand me the controller and vice versa. And so
there was a lot of swapping.
Okay, cool.
A lot of swapping. So we're driving down, we stop, you know, we run into an encounter, and out in the corner, we see a bear randomly chasing someone that's not even involved in the encounter that him and I were in with some of the rebels. And it's, as you were saying, the wildlife, it's as if the wildlife has a life of its own, irregardless of the actions that are going on in the game. Talk to me about
right? I mean, we can't just have a whole bunch of AI waiting for the player. It's got to be alive. Like, even just coming back to like Falls End, right? The town of Falls End. We started to talk about, you know, if we were in a situation like this, and if you, the player, were taking too long, somebody like Mary May or Pastor Drum is not going to wait. They're going to take Falls End back on their own. So it's like, okay, what does that do to the story? What does that do to the world? What does that do to everything? It can happen, right? So we wanted it from all the way down from just things that happened at an outpost, all the way down to different animals, that the world was alive and it would react, and you would constantly be running into stuff that's happening that you fall into. So that it's not like you're walking into a set piece. It's that you're walking into an actual real situation that's alive and you have to deal with it. Freedom to go in any direction. The opportunity to think, all right, I'm going to attack it in this way. And then the surprise is it's not going to work out exactly the way you thought. Life is like that, right? It's got to be organic. So it's really tricky to pull that off. And then to have a reactive narrative that can work for that, which is where the resistance meter comes in. But I think that when you think about all the different vectors that you can attack it in, we don't know if you're going to show up alone. We don't know if you're going to show up with a co-op partner. We don't know if you're going to have guns for hire. We don't know which guns for hire. We don't know if it's premier guns for hire. We don't know if you're going to have which fangs for hire you're going to have with you, or how you're going to be approaching it, or what weapon loadout you have. It's entirely up to you how you want to do it. And when you think about all those layers and all the possibilities, the coolest part for us is to show up in an interview like this. We've been talking about the game for a year, and now we don't really have to talk about it. You guys are talking about it and we're listening going, holy shit, I didn't know the game could do that.
I think, like, for me, just watching like all of you guys play, it makes me think that the game is as interesting to watch as it is to play. Like, I mean, I've been watching some people play and I'm like, wow, like, it's a surprise at every turn. It's like watching my favorite TV show, like almost reality TV. And I'm like, oh shit, this is so cool. Yep. And we've talked about the wildlife and stuff. And for me, the wildlife is really a character on its own. You know, it has a life, like we were saying, it has an agenda. Like, the bear is running after something. It's running after a prey. It's running about whatever. And that those characters are really what defines Far Cry 5 for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to recruit Grace as a Guns for Hire or any other Guns for Hire. And those guys are actually going to talk about what they see, what they've lived, every location. They're going to hint at different opportunities for the player. So the world is constantly talking to the player and kind of like directing a bit or hinting at different opportunities.
And people are doing stuff, right? I mean, the things that we've built in the game past, like in Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4, is that we really wanted to make it so that a convoy was actually going to a place to do something for a reason, and that if you caught it halfway into that reason, you would catch it in a different state than if you caught it before it got there. And that sounds, you know, it's pretty simple to think about, but when you think about the whole idea of the currency, that the cult is doing bad stuff, they're doing it at a specific time. If you find them and they're entrenched in a place, you got to be able to take them back. You might be able to catch them on the road. You might be able to catch them in a mission. It's all about it feeling like it's a real, alive place. That's the magic for us.
My question is, I'm a fan of like difficult games and stuff. Can you change it to more difficult, like, or can you make it a little bit easier for those that are
for sure? Probably we're gonna be able to make sure that you can choose right from the beginning the difficulty that you want to be able to approach it by. But what's interesting for us is that we also want it to have a bit of organic challenge to it. So that's where the heralds come in, right? If you look at that resistance meter, the heralds are actually doing something. They have a mandate. They have like they've got a spreadsheet that says, I need to have this shit done by the end of this day or I'm in trouble. And you start going in and poking at it and you start getting in their way, they're going to start pushing back. And so it gets a little bit more difficult, or they attack you a certain way. Maybe they send out a chosen. You'll feel that live in the game. Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think the way also that you can kind of help in the difficulty is to recruit some Guns for Hire or invite a friend over on co-op. So just playing the game with two people with a different set of skills, a different set of perks, different weapons, yep, really changes it up and makes it sometimes more easy, but sometimes also more difficult because you never know what those guys are going to do. So
we really thought about the squad. We really thought about who you had with you. Yeah. And just the idea that hopefully you guys got to see this, that you swapped out a couple of different characters that you had with you, because some of them know each other. Right. And they'll chat about stuff. And then if you just listen, like, we can't stop laughing when we hear it because they know each other and they've known each other for a while and it's good stuff.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the Guns for Hire. You know, we have the known ones that, you know, everybody wants to go after first. You know, they want, you know, the Nick Rise and them. But the ones that, you know, that him and I had recruited as Guns for Hire, they were just, you know, one of them, I think, was one of the rescuees that we had from the mission. And she was amazing, like as a partner, like almost. And that's one of the questions why we wanted to ask about the difficulty, if we could ramp that up, because she was taking people out before we could even get there. So it was almost as if, you know, she was, you know, maybe she's a higher level. Do the Guns for Hire all have varying levels of proficiency in a specific weapon?
Yeah, it depends. Like they're a very specific tool for a specific job. So you may run into somebody who's got an RPG and they're going to be able to clean house. You may run into somebody, you run into a Fangs for Hire. You may meet somebody who's a sniper. The thing for us was to make sure that when we built this sort of civil system, the whole idea is that you have some people that when you take them out as a hostage, they're not courageous. They're just afraid. And they're like, no, I'm out. I'm just going to book and get the hell out of here. And you have other people who are going to pick up a gun and not necessarily have the training to be able to use it, but they're going to protect themselves. And then you're going to have other people who are premier Guns for Hire that are going to know what they're doing. And they're going to be powerful. And what happens is that you have these moments of, all right, I got my premier Guns for Hire. I'm rolling through. We're taking people out. And then you run into a chosen. And it goes like this. And you're like, okay, it's not, no, hold on. I need to change my plan. I need a plane here. Or I need to send Boomer in. Or I need to go grab another Fangs for Hire. And you end up sort of spinning those plates.
So the whole time we're sitting here talking and we're telling all these stories about bears chasing people and helicopters and all that stuff, I just realized for anyone that's listening to this or watching this, we're just assuming they know what Far Cry 5 is even about.
Right.
So can you kind of talk about Hope County and the whole point we're there?
Yeah, the thing that we did with Far Cry 5 is that, you know, typically on Far Cry, what we've done in the past is we kind of put you on a plane or we put you on a boat somewhere and we send you off to this exotic location. And what we said to ourselves, even as far back as like 2012, is why not go to the States? And why not sort of explore the idea that it's something in your own backyard that could be just as exotic? So we kicked the idea around for a while, and we didn't know what we were, you know, what to do with it. And it kind of, we shelved it for a while. We made Far Cry 4, and then we moved into Primal. And then it kind of came back, and we said, okay, what's a believable situation? Why Montana? Because to be honest, when we were at E3, you know, the first thing that happened, you go, yeah, we're in Montana. Everybody goes, Montana, what the hell, man? I know nothing about Montana, but that's the point. I think that if you look at the spirit of Far Cry and what we've done is, at the end of Far Cry 3, we put the game out there, and everybody goes, wow, this is amazing. And then we go, and up next, Blood Dragon. And they're like, what is Blood Dragon? Where is that coming from?
And it was announced on April 1st. Yeah. So everybody thought it was a joke. So, but
there's a spirit to that where we're like, look, we want to be different, right? We want to make sure that it's always surprising. And then after that, we're heading into like Far Cry 4. And then after that, we roll into Primal. Like nobody saw Primal coming. And so we really want that to have happened, that where you're looking at Far Cry, and every single time that we put together a pitch or we put together an idea, people are kind of scratching their heads a little. And then as we begin to give them more and more information about it, they're like, okay, all right, it's a frontier. Montana's beautiful, right? And it's also a little bit remote. Not everybody knows a lot about Montana. And then as you begin to scratch at it a bit, you start to realize there's some people that are living there that really just want to be left alone, right? They don't want to be bothered by the government. They're self-sufficient. They're self-reliant. And it feels like there's a place where you get this beautiful, and as you begin to discover it, you start to say, this sounds very much like Far Cry. So that's what we did. We went there, we went to Montana, we did our due diligence, we looked into it, we met all kinds of people, and we had an amazing time. And we came back and we started to say to ourselves, okay, what do we do with that? Where do we take it? And we had this concept of the cult. And I think the concept of the cult was more born from the idea of, we have this pedigree of building these incredible characters. You got Voss, you got Pagan Min, and this time we wanted to build a character, and specifically somebody who was bad that didn't know they were bad. Didn't believe it. Actually believed what they were doing was good and that the ends justify the means, which makes them very, very different and unique and nuanced. And then, because we like to do things the hard way, we wanted to make it so that there was an entire family. And then on top of that, we wanted to build the civil system underneath where you've got all these other characters that we haven't seen before, with guns for hire and then fangs for hire and then civilians and then actually going through and looking at these communities. So we kind of just went, that's what we want to build. We want to build a real world. We want to put it in Hope County, Montana, which is ours. You can't find it on a map. We want to put it in a cult have a cult that basically affects the area, which is ours, and then allow the player to step into that powder keg and kick it off.
So other question I have on that, Hope County itself, like you showed us the whole map, it's huge. There's tons of things there. But from your point of view as a developer, is there ever fear of there being too much to do? Like you obviously have this great story that you're going to tell. There's going to be all these side missions. There's bears running around. There's all these things. Is there ever a fear of, you know, the average gamer fires up that screen, they see the map and they see all these things and they get stuck. What do I do next? Because like as an example, we're talking about Boomer. We saw Boomer was way up at the top of the map and then we knew we had limited time. We're like, that's too far away. We're not going to go do that. We'll do something else.
I think that what we do is we make sure that we give you the tools to be able to get to Boomer as fast as you want to, if that's what you want to do. But at the same time, we love the idea that you're thinking to yourself, I got to get to Boomer. I got to get to Boomer. I'm going to get to Boomer. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And 5 seconds later, you're nowhere near Boomer and you're going off in another direction, right? So from the standpoint of is it too much? I think that what we want to do is be generous, right? Be generous with the game. And we know from the standpoint of actually building a game and authoring it and writing it that players are going to attack it the way they want to. They're going to explore the way they want to. And there's going to be content they won't see. But that's the reason to play it again.
And kind of sticking with the things to do, last time Danny and I went, we spent a lot of time fishing. Okay.
Cool.
We noticed that now there's not just fishing, but now there's hunting. So now we've got two different aspects. And you did mention currency of, you know, with the in-game currency. Can you talk a little bit more about the currency system and, you know, hunting, fishing? Can you take meats and sell them and skins, et cetera?
That's all part of our crafting system. So as you progress, we've talked about, you know, making it your own and making it your own story. And you want to give not only tools, but also that currency for players to really build their experience and build like for their weapons, their own vehicles. So you can also customize your own vehicles. And as you progress through the story, yes, you're going to be able to fish. Yes, you're going to be able to hunt and get those things. But also as you complete quests or you meet certain characters or you stumble on some prepper stashes, you're going to be able to find those little nuggets of gold that are going to help you either get better or also just customize your own character so that when you invite a friend over, you're like, hey, that's a cool helmet. Like, how did you get that? Oh, Larry Parker. Who's Larry Parker? So those are the kinds of stories I think that are really interesting. Is not only you're going to be able to fish and hunt to get your good gear, but also that feeling of discovery and going around and exploring Hope County, Montana will bring that other level of you know, novelty to the player.
And it has value, right? I mean, you go out into the world and you go, okay, what, you know, people are looking for food or what, you stumble across a hunter and they say, listen, if you go out there and you hunt some stuff, you bring it back to me, I'll pay for it. And you're like, okay, I got it. Okay, I understand how it works. I understand what I got to do. And then you're like, okay, now what do I spend that on? How do I go and sort of build this resistance? And how do I push back on the cult? And I think once you get into that loop, it's pretty powerful.
I was testing out also the radio station.
Yeah.
So everything, is it, all the songs are licensed music or there's original music from?
So no, we definitely have original music.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
For sure. We have a lot of.
Now also, yeah. Do you have also radio stations that maybe like talk radio, you get to know more about what's going on?
So I don't want to give away too much.
Okay.
So I totally won't answer that question.
Okay. All right. There you go.
But the thing is that I think when you try and think about the meta of a game, you also want to think about the micro of a game, right? So, you know, if you're in the States and you happen to get into a muscle car and you put on the right song and you're driving down the road, it's just an amazing feeling. And it's really a slice of America. And I think that we really wanted to be able to focus on that you get into a big rig or you get into a muscle car, drive down the road, and that the right song would come on, the right opportunity would come on, and that it would feel charming. And so we focused on that. But there's a boatload of original music, and we think that when people discover it, and I really want to tell you about it, that it's really powerful stuff. And it's also, we tried to make things a little bit more ethereal as well. I'm going to give it away. I can't stop talking.
No, stop it now, Dan. Yeah, stop it now. Stop talking.
Well, I think we'll probably go ahead and start wrapping this up. But before we do, like, we're playing it on the PS4 Pro, and just from a graphical standpoint, because I know people care about that stuff, I mean, it looked fantastic. So
awesome.
Are we looking at 4K, HDR, all these bang whistle things?
There's specific stuff we're not talking about right now, but what I can tell you is that you know that Far Cry is manic about making the world beautiful, and that when you go through it, it's going to be stunning, and that we always talk about, and Phil works with the art team, it's just like, it's not enough to be able to see it, you want to be able to smell it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's got to be like, does it feel real? When you come up, there's moments that we're hearing that people are talking about Far Cry where they'll talk about it, we'll hear stories about it. And sometimes we'll hear stories of people as if, and we realize when we're listening to some of these folks, they've never been camping before. They've never been on some of these experiences. And this is our opportunity to say that. I remember hearing one story about somebody who played the game. He was talking about coming up over a hill and there was just a couple of deer there. And he was starting to get a little bit emotional about it. And I was like, wow, this guy's never been camping. He's never been outside and seen this stuff. And he had a legitimate moment in the world. And you're like, that's cool. And it's got to deliver on that. The water has to look right. The way the wind works, the sounds that are coming in, just everything has to feel real.
And I think something that we added this time around that we never thought was really a game changer is the level of branding that you see in the world. So you guys talked about radio stations and whatnot, and we actually created our own version of a radio station. It has a name, it has a logo, it's on people's t-shirts, you know, people talk about it in the world. And just that level of kind of like the micro details for us was something that we didn't think about at first. And then as we started putting a bit more branding, like creating a proper beer, you know, it's a beaver.
It's super expensive because you don't, it's like the difference between the real world, you don't realize when you close your eyes and think about just how much you see brands, just how much you see just life. Like you walk up to a character and they're not just a character, they have a favorite football team.
Yeah.
Right. They have something that they have a dentist appointment on Tuesday at like 3:30. Right, they shop online. They have opinions about stuff, and the same is true for like they have a favorite beer. They have a favorite bar. They're gonna go to that bar, and it has to feel real. So when you walk in, and you think to yourself, "All right, well, this is just a game space," it has to feel like it's been living there for 25 years. Which means you have to have layers of this is what it was like in the 70s. This is what it was like in the 80s. This is what happened when they went in and they cleaned it up and they took everything off. This is what happened in the 90s. This is what happened when there was a fire. In early 2000, here's where it changed ownership. And you have all of those layers of branding that Phil's talking about because that's what makes the world feel real.
Back when you guys announced the game, you show the trailer and everything, the reaction has been great, but there was also others that probably felt like, man, are they talking about a political party? Are they talking about my religion? Some of them probably felt a little bit uncomfortable about that. What do you have to say about that?
I think that, you know, one of the things that we did is we built this world was we wanted to make sure that it was ours. So that's, you know, there are sometimes you'll run across a brand and what they'll do is they'll basically say, all right, we're going to take a moment in time or we're going to take a character in time or we're going to take an event and we're going to build from that. We chose not to do that. What we chose to do was be able to make it so that it's our own space. And that's why Hope County is a place that's not in the real world. It's why it's ours. And that's why even when we started to build and inform the ideas of the father and the cult, we made it our own cult so that we would have the ability to sort of build it and it would be something that's ours. And people would be able to understand at that point that it's a form of entertainment. But I think it is important to understand that television, film, radio has been able to sort of explore these things for about 60 years now, depending on which media you're talking about. And games are coming of age. And so it's interesting for us to be able to do that as well.
We're going to go from a serious topic. We're going to go to jokes. I need to know more about this testicle festival. Where were you guys? What place were you guys mentally when you came up with the testicle festival? I need to ask.
But it's actually something.
There's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing, right? So we heard about it and we were like, what the hell is this? And so what's super cool about this brand and about our team is that, you know, somebody will say, listen, I think I want to do this. Did you guys play the mission?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I think Danny did. So.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So, you know, sometimes we get these, you know, a designer will come up or somebody who's working in Nerd will come up and they'll pitch us an idea. And it's amazing. It's charming. It's wonderful. And not a lot of people would ever make it. And we're like, you know what, it's let's just say yes. Let's give it a try. Let's see where it goes.
Embrace it.
Yeah, embrace it. Lean into it. And so I think that that's a great opportunity when you think about the tone of the game, is that our world is not painted with one brush. It's, you know, the world that we live in has got a ton of different tones, and you can go from having a pretty earnest moment to a crazy moment to a zany moment, and we want our game to be the same. We want it that you can go and pick up a note and read it and hear a kind of a harrowing or a difficult story. And at the same time, that you can go a little further away and have just a crazy moment with the testicle festival and do all kinds of crazy shit. Or you can meet a character that's in trouble, or you can meet a character that is a conspiracy theorist, and we run all of those emotions and all of those tones in the same world because that's what our world is like.
Yeah.
All
right.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up with that. Gentlemen, cool. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come out and hang out with you guys and play the game as well. And thanks to Danny and Paris for putting up with me for the last 36 hours. So awesome. From all of us, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Guys.
Thanks for your time.
Awesome.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
What's up, everyone? The holidays is a great time to get together with friends, family, and loved ones. And with the holidays and New Year's Eve right around the corner, we're asking that everyone please understand the risks of driving drunk. We encourage everyone to please have a plan in place, whether it's a designated driver or a cab or something, but we also understand that that's not always the case. So our friends at NHTSA developed an easy-to-use app to provide users with the easiest way to get home, even if you're drunk. Now let's face it. When you're in those situations, you're intoxicated, the last thing you want to do is a complicated process to try to get home. And it's a three-button press on the app, and you're done. It's that easy. And let's put it bluntly, when you're impaired and you're driving, you can get arrested, you could possibly lose your job, and the immense danger you're posing to yourself and those around you isn't worth it. So check out the Safer Ride app to call a friend or locate and call a cab. Help NHTSA end drunk driving by doing your part. And use the Safer Ride app. to get home safely. For more information, head on over to the iTunes Marketplace or Google Play and look for the Safer Ride app. Drive sober or get pulled over.
All right, so that was the interview, Matt. Yo, great vibe. Great conversation with the team. And yeah, there were certain things I couldn't talk about, of course. But great questions, too. Great questions. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up? Or no?
I'd like to go have a drink with Dan Hay. That's what I'd like to say. I can just tell, you know, the few times that we've got to sit down with him and talk to him over the past 6 months or so, real cool dude, very interesting. You can, like, being there with him, you can see beyond what he's just saying. It was like, this dude got some stories.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Very true. Pete, what about you? Anything else?
I think, you know, everything we've said, we're just spreading laurels for Ubisoft. I mean, they've done a fantastic job on Far Cry 5. How do you top Far Cry 5 at this point? I mean, we haven't even seen the whole thing. We're just seeing bits and pieces, and we've seen how they've taken Far Cry 5 earlier in the year.
Yeah.
We saw it at E3. We saw it at PAX. And every time we see it, it just iterates more and more. They're unveiling more. How are you going to be able to top Far Cry 5?
That's going to be tough.
You know, I mean, like, Far Cry 3 was phenomenal.
Primal was fun.
Primal was fun. Far Cry 4 blew my mind. You know, Pagan Min and all them. Where do you go from there? Like, how do you top this? Like, I mean, they've got a bright future ahead of them if they continue down this path.
Definitely.
And, you know, shout out to the entire Ubisoft team.
All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com, or also you can find us on Radio.com, and go to iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. You could subscribe, follow us, and spread the word. And if you have iTunes, make sure to post a review. And that's it. Until next time, all the way from San Francisco, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.